Last week said we have a Maimer Chazal, which I think is important to understand, not only for men who it applies to, maybe more specifically, but even to women, because they also have to encourage their husbands, children to learn Torah, and because some of the messages apply specifically and directly to women also. And that Maimer Chazal is the following. Torah says by Parah Aduma, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yomus Ba'ohel. Right, this is the Torah, a person dies in a tent. So the Gemara comments on that, that there's a hint here, Ein HaTorah Miskayemes, the Torah is not preserved, isn't established, Ela B'mishamemis Atzmo Ba'ohalo Shel Torah, except by a person who kills himself in the tents of Torah. And I want to explain to you a few different understandings of what it means. What does it mean to kill yourself over Torah? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, says a similar idea, which gives one perspective on what Chazal are talking about. And that is, it says, Lo timtza be'eretz hachayim, v'misha mechaye es atzma. The Torah won't be found in the land of the living. Somebody who lives it up. People who are in the mirror, he explains that the perfection of Torah will not be found by somebody who looks for the luxuries of life, whether it's in food or clothing or whatever it may be. And both the Rambam and the Medrash Tanchuma explain this Chazal in that way, that if a person really wants to reach the pinnacles of Torah learning, now we're talking about learning Torah, then he can't do it at the same time that he is looking for pleasures and luxuries in this world. And the Chassam Sofer also says similarly that Memis Atzmo therefore would mean that he kills away his desire for pleasures and luxuries or whatever. And the Chassam Sofer says, therefore, it also applies to a person who makes himself hungry, starves himself for the Torah. Okay. Now, the Maharal Miprag explains that this is not advocating a aesthetic life. In other words, that a person has to go out of his way to separate himself from all kinds of worldly pleasures or whatever, but rather that if there's a conflict between having those pleasures and learning Torah, the person will choose the learning of Torah, even though it means he's going to have to sacrifice and give up those pleasures. But if there's no conflict at all, then there's no reason why a person can't eat well, dress well, and have all the comforts and pleasures of life, right, if they don't conflict with his Torah study. That's what the Maharal says. And that will help us to understand the following Maimer Chazal, which on the surface seems to be very difficult, because it seems to promote a philosophy which is not a Torah philosophy. The Mishnah says, Kachi Darka Shel Torah. This is the path of Torah. If you want to know if you're the path of Torah, this is it. Pas b'melech tochal, only eat bread and salt. Mayim b'mesura tishte, drink only measured out water. V'al ha'aretz tishan, sleep on the floor. V'chaye tzar tichye, and live a life of pain and suffering. Uve Torah ata'omel, and if you are busying yourself in Torah, imata osekein, if you do that, ashrecha v'tovlach, you are fortunate and it's good for you. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, v'tovlach l'olam haba. It's fortunate in this world, it's good for you in the next world. Two problems here. First of all, is that really the only path of Torah? Anyone who eats more than bread and salt and sleeps in a bed is not on the path of Torah. If that's the case, I don't know too many people, even gedolim, who are on the path of Torah. Because I don't know anybody who didn't sleep in a bed. Except for an old aunt I had who had back problems. She used to sleep on the floor. So she was the only person I knew who was Bederech HaTorah. But she also ate more than bread and salt. So she's out of the running too. So what does that mean? Now, if you want to be Bederech HaTorah, and also why does it say in the end there, Imata Osekein, if you do it, Ashrecha V'tov Lach, your fortune is good for you. And then it repeats, your good fortune in this world, good for you in the next world. Why have to repeat it? Just tell me once, Ashrecha v'tovlach, or Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlach l'chol mapa. And also, why is that called fortunate in this world? I understand your fortune in the next world, but living a life like that is not fortune in this world. So what does it mean? So based on what we just said from the Maharal, I think what it means is the following. Person can know if he's a Bederech HaTorah, what makes you happy, what makes you consider yourself fortunate in this world? Physical pleasures, creature comforts, that's what makes you feel happy fortunate, or the ability to live a Torah life? How do you know? What would be if you would have none of those creature comforts and you would have no luxuries, no, what's it called, none of these pleasures, but you'd still be able to learn and observe the Torah? How would you feel? If you would feel that you are fortunate, then you're fortunate in this world and the next world. If you wouldn't feel fortunate, you would do it, but you'd really feel miserable because you have no pleasure in life, you have no fortune in life, because all those other things are your pleasure and your fortune, and Torah is not your pleasure and fortune. So even if you have Torah, but you wouldn't have those other things, you'd feel miserable, then you're not the Derech HaTorah. That is the litmus test. And that's what the Mishnah means. Kachi Darka Shel Torah. This is the path of Torah. What would be if you only had bread and salt, only water, slept on the floor, lived a life of privation physically? If you would do that, and you'd still be able to toil in Torah. If you would do that and feel that you're fortunate and it's good for you, then Taka, it's good, fortunate in this world, it's good for you in the next world. But if you would do that and you wouldn't feel fortunate and wouldn't feel happy, then you're not the Derech HaTorah. That's the meaning. But it doesn't mean that a person has to live a life of deprivation. What it means is that if in fact that will be the kind of life that you have to live in order to learn Torah and to observe the Torah, there's no two choices. You can't have both. It's either or. Then you have to choose the Torah over the pleasures. A person who does that, he will have the Torah fulfilled in him. The Maharal explains even more than that. He says it's because intellectual things and physical things are really at odds with each other. The more a person is into the physical world, the less he's into the intellectual, spiritual world. The more he's into the spiritual world, the less he's into the physical world. And therefore, it doesn't mean that you can't eat and enjoy yourself in this world, but you can't run after those things. That can't be your focus. If it's there, it's there. And if it's there, I can enjoy it, and it can enhance my Torah life. But it's not something that my whole focus and my interest in life, it revolves around that. I'm not running after these things. Right? That's what the Seder Hayom says. Similar idea. Harodeif acher tanuge olam hazeh. Lo yirdof acher diktu kloseho protoseho bepitei Torah. A person who pursues the pleasures of this world is not going to pursue a Torah life where he's medaktik, where he's careful about all of what Torah is. Right? His focus is going to be more on the material, physical things in this world. Either your focus is on spirituality, your focus is on the physical and material. You can't be focused on both. But if it doesn't mean you're focused on the physical material, you enjoy it. It's there. But your focus is really on the spiritual. How do you know? What if there's a conflict between them? Which one do you choose over the other? When there's a conflict, do you choose the spiritual over the physical over the spiritual? Then you know if you're on the right path. And therefore, that's the first meaning of this Maimer Chazal, Ein HaTorah Miskayim, Ela B'Mishim Mei Misatzmo Aleha. The Torah can only truly be accomplished, both learning Torah, and as we saw, even keeping the mitzvahs properly, only with someone who's willing to kill himself for it, meaning to deprive himself of physical pleasures, if that's what's necessary. Okay. That's one explanation. Any questions on that? If not, we'll go on to the next explanation. The next explanation, Nei Misas Atzmo, has nothing to do with physical material pleasures. It has to do with a person's desires, his ideas, his what he wants to do. If the person is not willing to forego his will in place of God's will, then he'll never really get anywhere in Torah learning or Torah observance. You have to be willing to negate your will for God's will. And the Zohar says that therefore this Mishnah has a connection to poorness, poverty. Doesn't have to mean real poverty. Poverty is a person who's considered like he's dead, right? Meaning that he doesn't exert, he doesn't have the ability to exert his power. He doesn't have power. He doesn't have money. A person has to be able to feel that he can't exert his will and his power when God wants something else. He's willing to negate and nullify his will and power in place of God. And therefore, the Sefer Hasidim puts another aspect to this, that a person, what's it called, Neimisat Asmo, means he kills his haughtiness, his gaiva. He's a humble person, a subdued person. He's not an assertive person to assert himself over what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. He's able to accept what God wants over what he would like. And therefore, what's it called? Ein HaTorah Miskayim. You really can't fulfill the Torah. The Torah is not fulfilled in someone who can't kill his desires, his will, his asserting himself, right, in place of what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. Because inevitably, the Torah is going to come in conflict with what you want to do, with your ego, right? And if you can't nullify that and negate it, right, and yield in for God's will, then you're not going to really be able to learn and observe the Torah. So that's a second idea. Any questions on that? I'll go to the third idea. Third idea is the Taz. The Taz says that it refers specifically to the learning of Torah. And it's not so much giving up pleasures or whatever, it's really putting effort, tremendous, strenuous effort into learning Torah. Torah is not something you can learn easily in a very lackadaisical, surface way. You have to really kill yourself, literally, rack your brains over it. If you don't really put in effort, just, you know, listening to tapes, sitting down in your lounge chair, sipping lemonade while you peruse a book, that's not learning Torah. Learning Torah, at least for a man, is putting in the main part of Torah is not the information. It's the omoviagia, the tremendous effort and a strenuous fatigue that a person has to put into learning Torah. Omoviagia. In fact, it says that the main reward for learning Torah is not how much you know, but how much effort you put in. And the idea is because Torah, the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky made the following observation. Why is this Maimer Chazal in the Parsha Poraduma? It could be anywhere in the Torah. The Torah could have hinted to this idea that you have to put a tremendous amount of strenuous effort into learning Torah. It says, because Parsha Poraduma reminds us that the Torah is something beyond human intellect. And because of that, you can't learn it like you learn any other wisdom, just by integrating the information, which you can do by listening to tapes or doing it on a computer or whatever. But Torah knowledge is something that's beyond the human capability. It's something that God has to give you as a present. And the condition to get it as a present is yogati umatzasi. You have to put in effort. The Torah is given to you according to the effort that you put in. And the truth is, everybody knows Torah. Everybody learned Torah before they were born. The main thing over here is to access it, to bring it out through your effort. They say the Vilna Gaon was offered to be taught by angels, and he refused. Because the main thing of Torah is not to know the knowledge, it's to put in the effort. And if he'd be taught by angels, he wouldn't be putting in the effort. He'd be missing the main part of what Torah is all about. And therefore, the Torah hinted this thing, this idea, in the Parsha Paraduma, which lets me know the Torah is beyond human intellect. It's a chukah, it's a something beyond super-rational, right? And therefore, you won't remember the Torah. The Torah won't become part of you unless you put in tremendous effort. So mei misatzmo means you kill yourself by putting in effort. And don't do it easily, lackadaisically, superficially, or whatever. That's the third explanation, yes. Women probably not. This is part of the mitzvah. There's two mitzvahs in Talmud Torah. There's the mitzvah of knowing Torah. A woman has that mitzvah too, because she has to know how to do the mitzvah she has to do. So that part of the Torah she has. Then there's the mitzvah of learning, even not for the sake of knowledge, just to put in the effort. That probably only applies to men. However, if a woman, it says that a woman's, that which benefits a woman, the same as a man putting in effort into learning Torah, is her putting effort into being tzanua. I saw that in Rabbi Folk's book. He brings down from somebody that, I think the Vilna Gaon even, that a woman's, the way that a woman can parallel the benefits that a man gets from putting effort into Torah, not the learning part of Torah, but the effort part of Torah, a woman can get that by, what's it called, by putting effort into being extra modest. But I think the Vilna Gaon said. What? Because since Paraduma is something that's obviously beyond human intellect, it shows me that Torah is not something that you can acquire just intellectually, like other wisdoms. It's something that you have to get as a present from God, and therefore you have to really put your entire being into it in order that God will give you that wisdom. What? No, it could be that that takes a lot of effort also to be tzanua. It's not something that comes natural. So the effort that a woman puts into that is the same kind of effort that a man has required to put into Torah. Right? Since the effort is the ikker, so by tznius the effort is the ikker, and over here the effort is the ikker. Man is in the midst of Tama Torah, so his effort is in Torah. A woman has an extra inyan of tznius, so her effort goes into that. Could be. Okay, now the Chafetz Chaim says another idea, which applies to people who have to set times for learning, but applies to women also, because it applies to setting aside times for spiritual things, whether it's learning, whether it's mitzvahs, whether it's chesed, whatever it may be. Okay? A person has many things that interfere and interrupt his ability to do things that are important to do. So the Chafetz Chaim says a different idea. What is Ein HaTorah Miskayemes? He gives the following mashal, okay, the following anecdote, and with that you understand what it means. He says like this, that there was once a man who, as he was getting on in age, decided that he better start cramming for his finals, and that he's not putting enough time into learning Torah, and he's too busy with his, he had a business that he ran together with his wife, and he would spend most of his day in the store. And he decided that he's going to have to take some time off. So the first day he took off a half an hour after davening and didn't show up to the store until a half an hour late. And told his wife, I think I got to put a little bit more learning in. She said, fine. Then a week went by, he decided that's not enough. So he came an hour late. And finally, after a few weeks, he decided that that's certainly not enough. And he just stayed in the base medrash like, for a few hours after Shachris. Meanwhile, an hour goes by, 2 hours go by, and he's not at the store. His wife assumed that something happened to him. So she sent out a search party because she assumed that he dropped dead on the way from shul, and his body is lying somewhere, right? That's why he didn't come back. So she goes out, and finally they find him on his way to the store. She says, where were you? So there are customers standing in line, right? I can't take care of myself. We need you in the store. And I'm terrified. I thought you were dead. He said, tell me the truth. If you would have found my body dead in the street like you thought, would you stand over my body and say, what are you doing down there? There's customers. There's a whole line of customers. What are you doing there? Right? You would accept the fact that I'm dead. And that's it. There's no way I could come to the store. Forget about the customers, right? That's it. So in the time that I was in the base medrash, pretend I'm dead. Right? And therefore, there's nothing I can do. For that time, I'm dead. I will revive from the dead and come to help the store as soon as the time for learning is finished. But if you imagine, and I imagine, that during that time I'm dead, then there's nothing that can bother us. There's no customers, there's no other things, the phone's not ringing, because if I'm dead, none of these things mean anything. So pretend I'm dead. Now, if I really would have been dead, you wouldn't stand over my body and start yelling at me that the customers are waiting in line. Where am I? Right, so pretend for that time. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. What does it mean? Ein haTorah miskayemes ela b'misha mei misatzmo. A person who considers himself dead when he's learning Torah, or we can expand it to doing things that he has to do that interfere with his daily schedule, you have to consider yourself like you're dead. And what's it called? That's what the other, the Magid Mivil Kamir and the Or Yukaro say, the same thing, that a person, when he's learning Torah, when he's devoting himself to something of spiritual nature, has to, for that time, consider himself dead, and therefore nothing can bother him, because if he'd be dead, no phone calls, no people who are emergencies or whatever, unless, again, there are emergencies that you have to take into consideration. But most of the normal emergencies of the day, right, you can, if you consider yourself for that time dead, right, nothing will pull you away from your tvius, from your setting up set times to learn Torah for a man, and for a woman to be involved in spiritual pursuits. Okay, that's what it means. Ein haTorah miskayemes, right? The Torah will not be preserved. You won't be able to establish it, right, and fulfill it, unless during the time that you're supposed to be learning or involved in Torah, you consider yourself like you're dead. Okay. The Marashdam says we're up to number four or number five? Five? Number five. He says another idea. He says, Misha Memis means not a person who kills himself, but a person, even in a time when a person is suffering, and he has all kinds of tsaras. That's called Misa. Misa is not just death. The Ramban says that on Rosh Hashanah it says a person who has more averus than mitzvahs is nichtav v'nechtam la'alter l'mavas. He's decreed immediately for death. He said it doesn't mean that you're going to die that year. Death includes all the negative things of this world. Poverty and sickness and suffering. All of that is included in death. Death is the worst of it all. But there are small deaths also. So therefore, when a person is in a situation of what's it called, of death, he's in a situation where it's killing him, where things are killing him, he still should be able to learn Torah. He should be able to learn Torah under all circumstances, even the most depressing. And therefore, there's another Maimer Chazal that echoes this. The Gemara in Shabbos, Samech Gimel, says, Lo yafrish min haTorah afilu b'shas misa. A person should not separate himself, even from the Beis Medrash, even a time of death. Now some say that means literally. A person has to learn Torah till the day he dies. Even the day he's dying, he has to learn Torah. There's no limit of when you stop learning Torah. But it also means, what's it called, Shas Misa can also mean a time of weakness, a time when you feel dead. Right? Sometimes people are dead tired. They feel like they're dead because of their tsaras. Right, even in times of death, in times of suffering, in times when a person wants to give up, when he's really depressed, still has to make the effort to learn Torah. And only a person who can learn under all such situations is really going to keep the Torah. Because if you can't keep it under all situations, then every situation that comes up is going to be too trying for you to do it. Today I'm too tired, tomorrow I have too much sorrow, and the next day I have this and that, and there's always going to be, it's never going to be a perfect situation. So if you can't keep it under all circumstances, the circumstances will never be positive enough for you to keep it properly. The sixth idea is, and they say about the Vilna Gaon, just from this one, that even when a person is dying, so the Vilna Gaon was dying, and he was in the last throes of life, the beginnings of dying. And the doctor, Frum doctor, was attending to him. And he went in, and the family was standing outside, you know, to find out what's going on. So somebody asked the doctor, in Yiddish it sounds much better, but in English we'll try to translate it in a way that they asked him, where's he's holding? Meaning, what's his condition? And the doctor said, he's holding in Maseches Kalim. And he bent down, he heard him whispering the Mishnayos of Kalim. What? The Vilna Gaon. So, in other words, they were asking about his condition. And he said, where's he up to? Right? He's up to this Masechta. That's what he's doing now. Right? He was dying and he was learning at the time he was dying. One last idea, which I think is also possible, possible explanation. Ein HaTorah Miskayem, all these interpretations that we gave until now explain the word Miskayem to mean it can't be fulfilled, it can't last, it can't be preserved, it won't exist by somebody. And that is the meaning of Miskayem. But there's another meaning of Miskayem. Miskayem can mean also to be realized. The Torah is not realized. In other words, if you want to know what Torah is, the fullness of what Torah is cannot be realized, right, unless a person kills himself over it. And I'll discuss what that means. And we learn from the pasuk, "Vizos haTorah." This is the Torah. If you want to, when it says this, it means you can point with your finger, and that is the essence of the thing. You can point your finger at the essence of the thing, right? So, "Vizos haTorah." You want to know what the essence of Torah is? Where Torah, the essence of Torah is expressed. That's the word, Miskayim. You know where Torah has its essence expressed? In a person who kills himself. What does that mean? Kills himself means that his entire focus in life is on Torah. There's nothing else. Everything else he kills away, and his entire focus on life is Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore includes everything in his life. If he's eating, he's eating for the sake of being Mekayim mitzvahs and to learn Torah. If he's enjoying himself, it's only for that purpose. There's nothing else. He kills everything else away, and the only thing that's left is Torah. But then everything in his life is focused around the Torah. And that's the idea of total subjugation to God. I'm not doing anything for my own sake. I'm doing it all for the sake of the Torah. I'm killing myself for the sake of the Torah. Anything that's for me, for my desires, my purpose, right, that's not for the purpose of Torah, I've killed that away. That's the real realization of what the essence of Torah is, because that's what Torah is. B'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moldecha. All your will, all your heart, all your soul, all your what's it called, material possessions, have to be for the sake of God, and that's for the sake of Torah. God's will is the Torah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if it becomes so that Torah is more pleasurable than anything you do?
More what?
More pleasurable.
Right, that's fine. Torah is supposed to be pleasurable. Torah is supposed to be pleasurable. Especially learning Torah is supposed to be pleasurable. And that's what it means. Rabbi Akiva, his whole life he said, I look for the day that I'd be willing to sacrifice my life for Torah. And that doesn't mean he was looking forward to people should kill him. It means that I really wanted to know that I sacrificed everything that was mine if it conflicted with Torah. And I did everything for the sake of Torah. How will I really know if that was the case? What if I have the ultimate sacrifice to make, my life itself? Will I sacrifice that for Torah too? And that will be mekayim. That will, this is the same idea of aikaimen, of aina Torah miskayim. That will be mekayim. The word kiyum can mean to validate, endorse. In other words, the Torah is endorsed. It's validated by people who are willing to kill everything about them except that which is Torah. That's what Torah is really all about. Torah is total subjugation to God. And that's why when the Torah was given, their neshamas left them. God wanted to show them that's what's necessary for Torah. Give up your life for it. If that's what's necessary. If it's not necessary, then you can live your life according to Torah. But if that's not possible, then you have to give up your life for Torah. But that's the realization, that is the ultimate, what's it called? And therefore, it's interesting. Rav Meir Shapiro, who said this? No, that Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro from Ber Yaakov, Shlita, you should be well. He said that's why when a child learns how to speak, the first thing we do is say Shema Yisrael with him, and when a person is ready to die, he says Shema Yisrael. From beginning to end of life, the main thing is Hashem Echad. There's only one purpose in life. When the child is three, he says that. When he's ready to die, he says that. You come to this world with that, you leave this world with that. If that's your focus is one thing, and everything else you kill away. That's what Torah is all about. Okay. Let me just finish this. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that's why it's called Ohaloshel Torah. You have to realize that everything in this world, even the Torah you do in this world, is a temporary thing. It's all for a greater purpose of what's going to be in the next world. So your whole this world is directed and focused towards what's the next world. And anything that doesn't fit into that, you kill away. That's, you consider death. And that's why this world is called Ohalo Shel Torah, the tent of Torah. Whereas the next world is called Beis Olamo, the house of your eternal dwelling. There it's kavua. There it's set. Here it's only temporary. And that's what the Tanit Velio Rabba says. A person has to give his entire power, everything he has, for the sake of Torah. Okay? And what does it mean, Miskayim? Here's what Meir Shapiro said. What does it mean, and the Shlush Yaakov says the same idea. It says the Torah will be preserved by somebody who killed. But if you kill yourself over it, what's it going to be preserved? It'll be preserved by your children. And not only by your children, by other people. It says, after that, the person kills himself in the tent of Torah, and the next part of the pasuk is, and anybody who comes into that tent. Meaning that not only will that person be inspired by living a life like that, other people will be inspired from him. And his children will be inspired. And the Torah will be preserved through others and through, what's it called, and through the generations. So that, those are, how many do we do, six or seven different interpretations of this Maamar Chazal? All of them are true. And all of them tell us how a person has to approach the Torah for the Torah really to be established and preserved in his life. Yes?
In the story where the man came back and said,
right.
So, how did his wife react to
that? And I assume...
Practically.
Okay. I assume that he understood that his wife would understand that and would accept that as something that appeased her. If he knew that his wife didn't have that outlook on life, then he would be grossly guilty of hurting his wife, which you don't learn Torah and hurt somebody else at the same time. But he understood that with that explanation, his wife would be very happy that he wasn't in the store. Right? So if she wasn't that kind of wife, he would have had to make nice to her and explain to her before he spent hours in the Beis Medrash that he was going to do that and not to put her into a frantic panic. But he understood that his wife was on the level that hearing that would make everything fine.
Because it's a fine line, a hard compromise.
100%. Right, 100%. 100%. Right. On the one hand, a husband has to be very conscious and sensitive to his wife's needs, and the wife has to be sensitive to the husband's need to have to learn. So she has to be willing to forego a lot of help, and he has to push to help her, right? And between them, they'll come to a nice compromise.
Mm-hmm.